This morning, scripture reading is Exodus 17, 1-7. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do for this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the reading of the word.
Please pray with me. Loving God, fountain of every blessing, open us to your life-giving word and fill us with your Holy Spirit so that the living water may flow through our hearts, a spring of hope for a thirsty world. Amen. One of my very best friends, longest friend, we met in Sunday school when we were in kindergarten. She was managing a law firm out in California a while back, and she was absolutely miserable in this job. We would grumble together about the way that no matter what she did, she was routinely criticized. She was paid unfairly, to put it mildly. She wasn't offered any sort of benefits. The hours she worked were so ridiculous, it made me grumble because it was really hard to find ways to stay in touch with her. The office was also, it was in a sort of a dangerous part of the city, and I worried about her, and, you know, it had been broken into several times, and she was afraid to go there alone, especially after hours. And then finally, 7 years ago, about, give or take, she was offered a position at a big global tech company that I'm sure you're all aware of, but because she is in legal, I can't tell you what the name of that is. I don't want to brag. She certainly doesn't. But my friend is a very big deal. Today she's constantly praised for her phenomenal work and her work ethic. She has this gorgeous office with a beautiful view, snacks, beverages, a full cafeteria, which is about anything you could ever want. She's compensated very well. She reaps the benefits of full medical, dental, vision. Can you believe they offered her pet insurance? Along with 401k contributions and stock options, she gets at least 5 weeks of paid vacation every year. And then on top of that, this year, she was also given a full consecutive month off for rejuvenation. You know what, though? She still complains. One of our favorite things to grumble about together is the company's candy of the month. There are these jars throughout the campus, like on every floor, like on each wing, everywhere. These jars that are just like magically stocked with different types of sweet treats every month. It's a different treat. But honestly, often the candy is lackluster at best. One month it was these like health brownies that were made with flaxseed, millet, and mint. And another month it was like pixie sticks. And then I think one of the more recent ones were just like, you know, those penny candy, those just hard candy sticks. Yeah. Never once has it been Reese's Cups. Not once. There are also these refrigerators on each floor that are stocked with different beverages. But wouldn't you know, the mango lime seltzer is only stocked on the floor above her office. So, like, she has to, like, walk down the hall and push a button and take the elevator up to the 8th floor. It's like they want her to die of dehydration there. Her life is so hard. I know what you're thinking. She does too. Oh, boo-hoo. What each of us wouldn't give for a job where we're making six figures with health benefits and retirement contributions. I'm just, honestly, I've asked her if the company would consider hiring a chaplain, because what a gig that would be. And considering how miserable she was in her previous position, like, what right does she even have to grumble? You know, as miserable as her old job made her, she did have really close work friends that she enjoyed seeing. She enjoyed working with them. They were people of the same age and background as her. They understood her. They were people that she looked forward to seeing every day. And in this job right now, most of her colleagues are like 20 to 25 years younger than her. And it's a real struggle to form, you know, actual connections. And considering the amount of time that she spends in the office, it gets lonely sometimes. This position is also much more stressful. My friend manages several teams of people, and she's responsible for making sure the company doesn't get sued for enormous amounts of money. The job requires her to be up to date on political, economic, ecological, and artistic news from across the globe. She truly does enjoy the work. And she does know how fortunate she is. But there are still legitimate occasions for grumbling. Who puts millet in a brownie? In our scripture passage for today, we listen to the Israelites whining and complaining. But remember, just before this, they were slaves in Egypt. They had no access to their own land. They were forced to work for the Pharaoh. When they asked for their release, the Pharaoh consistently said no. And when he finally said yes, he immediately changed his mind and chased after the Israelites through the Red Sea. How quickly it seems the Israelites have lost their trust and faith in God. They were just singing victory songs about dodging Pharaoh's army and rejoicing in the escape from drowning in the Red Sea. And now they're arguing with Moses, demanding water to quench their thirst. This is all his fault, by the way. He's the one that took them out of that lush, fertile land and guided them into this arid desert. Yeah, They may have been slaves in Egypt, but they weren't faced with death from dehydration. Moses, at a loss, just at a loss, throws up his hands. Like, what do these people want from him? Why aren't they trusting God? But Moses recognizes that the Israelites' grumbling is legitimate. Thirst is a genuine physiological need. So Moses pleads with God, Tell me, God, what do I do for these people? They're going to kill me. You put me in this position of leadership, so you have to help me. You have to help all of us. And God listened to the grumbling. And God told Moses, go to the rock at Horeb. Strike it with that very staff you used to part the Nile, and water will come out. Lo and behold, when Moses struck the rock, clean, crisp, cool water flowed from that rock. Give us a drink, the Israelites ask. God hears them, repeatedly responds, and calls Moses to bring forth water from a rock. But do the people know what they truly thirst for? Yes, water is a necessity for life. Without it, the Israelites would surely perish. But the people also thirsted for more than just physical water. Their grumbling also indicated a need for more, a need for reassurance that God was still with them. In each of our lives, there have been times when we have felt frustrated and lost in the wilderness. And during those times, our fear tends to get the better of us. But our culture doesn't really like fear. So we grumble. And sometimes those grumbles seem really unimportant. Like other people have it so much worse, don't they? I'm here to tell you that just because other people have it worse doesn't mean that you're not allowed to grumble, that your concerns aren't legitimate. And that goes for other people who grumble to you as well. There's likely something deeper underneath that grumbling, a cry wondering if God has abandoned us. A crying out, asking for God's assurance. Jesus himself taught us to pray, giving us full permission to ask for what we need, to request of God our daily bread, to ask God to walk with us. There is no prayer too silly, no grumbling too ridiculous to bring to God. God listens to all of the grumbling of the Israelites, the grumbling of Moses, the grumbling of my friend, the grumbling of the church with decreasing numbers, the grumbling of a Steelers fan after a loss, my grumbling when the alarm clock goes off an hour earlier than usual. God patiently listens to it all. And then God provides for us. I mean, it's not usually the solution we expected or quite what we had asked for. So then we continue to grumble. And God continues to listen. Thanks be to God. Amen.